Whenever you learn, it's important always to take everything to heart and see what it's coming to tell you. The Torah is called the Torah Chaim. So whenever you learn the parasha, Kedai to try to internalize the ideas that the parasha is teaching you. So sometimes you learn a story in the parasha, so it doesn't seem to be telling you anything, just a story. So you have to look deeper. So in this week's parasha, it talks about Yaakov meeting Esav. So he wants to send him gifts because that's how you have to deal with Esav sometimes. So it says like this: this is Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Yud Zayin. He put in his servant's charge each drove separately because he wanted to give a gift to Esav. So he took 200 she-goats, 20 he-goats, 200 ewes, 20 rams, 30 nursing camels and their colts, 40 cows and 10 bulls. That was like a day at the zoo. 20 she-donkeys and 10 he-donkeys. So we're talking about a lot of money. It's like today you would send him a Rolls Royce, a Lexus. Somebody told me actually that. You know somebody who bought a car, maybe a Lexus, for $1 million shekel. Over $250,000 for a car. It's Fimoshi. Does anybody see us like that in all of Hazen? People are willing to spend $1 million shekel on a car. Spend 10 million. Fimoshi spends 10 million on stack of food. It's a lot of money for a car. In any event, you can get a bus ticket for 50 shekel. It takes you wherever you want to go. You get one of those ma'avars. You can just take as many buses as you want within an hour and a half. And then, so you miss the hour and a half, you buy another one. It's another 6 shekel, $1 million shekel. Or Mayor, how many years did it take you to spend $1 million shekel? A long time. Can't get over that. In any event, he gives Esav a very big gift. By the way, if anybody is interested in hearing me, which some of you are because you're sitting close, the people far, instead of me screaming, I don't like screaming at people. You're welcome to, and you're invited to come closer. It's not nice to scream. In any event, he gives Esav a very nice gift. And he wants to make a revach bein eder le'eder. What's a revach? He wants to give it separately. That there should be space in between each of the gifts. So he sends them a gift of animals, and then there's a gap, and then there's a space, and there's another gift, and then Esav sees that, and there's a little space. And another gift. Rashi says, "Rebach tasimu edo ufnei chaver melo ayin." Kedei lasbi eino shel Rashi lasabu aribui adoron. He said, "I want you to see that each gift, you can see as far as the eye can see, and then, he'll see the gift. Then there'll be a rebach. There'll be a space, and then he'll see another gift." So what is Esav going to say? He's going to say, wow, look at this, a gift, and I thought it was over. And then another one. And then another one. And then another one. So that's Rashi. So what's interesting about this Rashi is that there are really two ways to give somebody a gift. One is you can wow them with a gift. You give it to them all at once. Just Esav's going to look at it, oh my gosh, it just keeps coming and coming and coming and coming. Or you can give a gift. Somewhat sees it. Wow, it looks nice. Nothing. Then he sees another one. It looks nice. Nothing. So there's two ways of giving gifts. You can give a lot at one shot, or you can give some, wait, some, wait. So Yaakov knew that the secret to Esav is to give some and then stop. Some and then stop. So obviously Yaakov was onto something. And the question is, what was Yaakov onto? That's what we're trying to figure out today. For those who are interested, I assume most of you are interested. You're coming, most of you are even looking at me. So, probably you're appreciating the new haircut that I got. 12 shekels, by the way. So how many haircuts could I get for the price of a brand new car? But I tipped the barber. I said, if he's only charging 12 shekels, he's a man who deserves a tip. So, I tipped my hat, and I walked out of the store. But I thought, should I give him a few shekels also? But, so, that was it. All I have to say is, right, I said, Mispar Shtayim. That's if, so if you're looking at me and you're saying, oh, how did he get that? It's just 2 inches of Mispar Shtayim, and you're set for the next 2 months. Okay. So that's the question number one. What's this milah of sending him a gift with a revach, with a space in between? And obviously, what does that teach us? The other question is that earlier on, when Esav eats his the red stuff, the lentils, he says, halitainam and adom adom azesh, chuck it down my throat. Which is mashma, chuck it down in one shot. Chuck it down in one shot, as opposed to, give me one course, and then it's over, and then another course, and then that's over. And so you see there that Esav wanted all in one shot. So if all in one shot is good there, why isn't all in one shot good here? There he says, halitainam and adom adom azesh. Also, there's a medrash that says, medrash says something very interesting. What's a medrash? A medrash were a group of very, very holy rabbis, some of them 1,500 years ago, 1,700 years ago, 2,000 years ago, and they sat with the Tanakh, and they said, let's learn. And they started to learn, and they made all these diyukim and psukim, and sometimes from their own knowledge, and sometimes from their own understanding, sometimes from tradition. They told us, they filled in the lines in between the pasuk, and they were very sensitive to nuances in the pasuk, different words the psukim use. And they taught us a lot, so it's kedai sometimes. People like to look at, you know, these English books on the parasha and all these nice books, which are all good, and even Hebrew books on the parasha. But it's kedai sometimes just to take a medrash and see what Chazal said about the parasha, because they're the most authoritative source of all. We're going back, again, 2,000 years. 1,500, 2,000 years. So sometimes less. We're not all sure where all the midrashim came from. But this is Bereishis Rabbah, which is a very common medrash, like most basic. So here it says, what's Verevach Tassimu? That Yaakov said before God, Master of the Universe, if there are tzaras that come onto the Jewish people, not all at once. Lat, we can't take it all at once. You know, the Jewish people have so many tzaras. So give us some problems, then give us a break, give us a breather, and then more problems, and then give us another breather, and then more problems. But we need breathers in between problems. We can't take all the problems at once. So the question is, what's the schus, Yaakov says, since I sent Esav gift with a breather, with space in between, so when the Jewish people have trouble in life, I want you to give them a space in between. So obviously there's something very special about this gift that Yaakov Avinu is giving Esav that's going to be a merit for us for the generations, and it more or less worked. We have World War I, for example. They say World War I, the Jews suffered a tremendous amount. People think World War I was nothing compared to World War II. World War I, all of the world suffered, but particularly the Jewish people suffered a great deal. And then we had a little bit of a break, and then came along World War II, and then we had a little bit of a break, and then came the independence war here in Israel, and then we had a break, and then there was a war in 56, and then we just keep getting breaks, and then they attack, and then another break, and then they attack again, and they blow up a bus, and they take a break. So we get breaks in between our tzaras. So where do these breaks come from? From the merit of Yaakov sending up having a break in between gifts. So what's so special about this break? So I told the Rebbe Shlita, so this is his approach to this gift of Yaakov Avinu, not my own. So we have to learn about Esav. We have to learn about Esav because you have to learn the two types that you learn from: who you should be like and who you shouldn't be like. So from Yaakov we learn how to be, and from Esav we learn how not to be. So what is Esav? What is Esav's midah? So it says in the pasuk, "Vatikach Rivka's big day Esav benar gadol hachamudos." Rivka takes Esav's clothing, her big son, hachamudos. What are hachamudos? Shechamad osam minimrod. So what is chemda? Jealousy, coveting. In English they call it to covet, to desire. When you desire what belongs to somebody else, you have the midah of chemda. Is chemda a good midah or a bad midah? Usually a bad midah. Eretz Yisrael is called Eretz Chemda. So Eretz Chemda is a good thing. But when you're chomed what belongs to other people, that's not such a good thing. You see somebody else has a really nice suit, so you say, oh, I want that suit. That's not a good midah. Esav's midah was the midah of chemda. That's number one. Number two, there's a medrash that says, Nivhal Lahon, who remembers the medrash of Nivhal Lahon, who Chazal says, Nivhal Lahon, who runs to get a quick buck. 3 weeks ago, somebody stood here and he gave a whole shiur about Ephron being a Nivhal Lahon. Ephron was a Nivhal Lahon. And then people understood him to mean that you should never enjoy your money and you should never make any money, and if you ever get any money you should give it all to tzedakah and you shouldn't have any pleasure from this world. That's how people misunderstood him. However, that's not what he meant at all. He meant you should make money, you should enjoy your money, you should get pleasure from this world, you just shouldn't hoard money, and you should in fact give a lot of money to tzedakah. So in any event, Ephron is called the Nivhal Lahon. Ephron's also called a pencil. But Esav, it says in Shemos Rabba, Nivhal Lahon ze Esav. Esav was a man who was after a quick buck. Esav loved money. See here a Chazal and Pesukim. A lot of times you see a pattern that Rishayim are in love with it to this day. They love their money. They're in love with money. It says in the Yerushalmi why the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. It says that the people love their money too much. They were so in love with their money. How much can you talk about loving your money? What did I always quote? Rav Meir Mipar Lasham is a great Hasidic Rebbe. He said, "Hatzileni midamim Elohim," which literally means, "Save me from bloodshed, God. I don't want my blood to be spilled." But it could also mean, "Hatzileni, save me midamim." Damim can mean blood, it can also mean money. Save me from money being Elohim, being my God. And money shouldn't be my God. Elohei chesef, Elohei zav, lo sasu lechem. Don't make gods of gold and gods of silver. And don't make your gold, your gods, gold and silver. That today is the biggest avodah zarah. There's two things really. You don't talk about anything else. I mean, I'm happy the yeshiva is learning Bava Basra, and I'm happy with all we do here. But if it was up to me, we would just spend 20 hours a day talking about the Yetzirah for Arayos and the Yetzirah for money. And I say Arayos, those of you who know Hebrew, it can mean lions, and it can also mean other things. So I'm not referring to the lions. Nobody here has a Yetzirah to go kiss a lion. But then if you do, then you have more problems than the people of other types of Yetzirahs. But Gili Arayos is, forget about it, hands down, crazy, off the charts Yetzirah, which we have to learn how to deal with. The way to deal with it is to learn Bava Basra. But to know that that's the Yetzirah to deal with, and the other Yetzirah is the Yetzirah for money. So the Yetzirah for money, that people can talk about at the Shabbos table, that your parents can tell you that's what they want from your life, that's, you know, that's a lot more in, out in the open. And the Yetzirah for Arayos, that's going on in the 6 inches of our brain, and nobody knows except for the Rabbanu Shalom and us. But that's a Yetzer that we have to learn how to deal with and how to become more holy. In any event, Esav was a man who loved money. How much did he love money? It used to be a game show. He loves money. And then he says, was that guy fat? And they remember when the crowd would say, how fat was he? So they say, Esav loved money. So how much did he love money? So Esav loved money. So, television, you guys don't know TV? It's a black box. People playing, pretending to be somebody they're not. In any event, so Esav loved money. How much did Esav love money? Esav loved money so much that when Yitzchak dies, Eitan, I'm using your Tanakh, is that okay? Stone Tanakh? Getting stoned together? Me and Eitan, we're good friends, we get stoned together, we learn Tanakh together from the stone Tanakh. So, it's green, by the way, in case people like money, or maybe that's what he had to use in order to sponsor this Tanakh. So, Mr. Stone was a good man, not a good man, a great man. How much do you love money? So when Yitzchak dies, Yaakov says to himself, oh my goodness, Esav's going to be buried in Maris HaMachpelah? We don't want that. He's going to be living with the tzaddikim. Yeshiva's going to go visit him. Davin in his kever during a service of Mechuba. It can't be. So what did he do? He took the inheritance he got from Yitzchak. He made a pile of bucks. And he said to him, Esau! When he was little, they say, you call him Esau Seesaw. They used to call him in his elementary school. Esau Seesaw the Gingy. So he says to him, Esau! I'll make you a deal. You take these bucks and you sell me your place in Maris HaMachpelah. Sell me, you don't get to go to Maris HaMachpelah. That's what Medrash says. What did he do? What did Esav say? Esav said, a burial spot? This is the only place you could be buried is in Maris HaMachpelah? You could be buried in Tel Aviv. You could be buried in Givatayim. You could, I was once in a cemetery in Givatayim. It's a big tzaddik there, the Chefinesh Derav, Chefinesh. I think it's in Givatayim. So people go there, it's a big school. I'm not sure for what, but I went there anyway. I davened at his kever. So, I'd rather daven at someone else's kever than have other people daven at my kever, just because I want to be alive. In any event, so they have Purim everywhere. They have Purim in Queens. That was the joke going around Simchas Torah time that I heard in shul. You're not supposed to joke in shul. But, you know what I mean? People were so dizzy going round and round and round in order to get people back. Somebody said, what's in this team? Moshe Rabbeinu and a certain Rebbe from Brooklyn. That Moshe Rabbeinu, we know that he died, we just don't know where he's buried. And the certain Rebbe from Brooklyn, we know where he's buried, we just don't know that he died. So we know those who say he's buried in Queens. He's buried in Queens. Zecher Tzadik B'Kadosh L'Vracha. I'm not making fun of him. I'm making fun of those people who think that he's still alive. He's buried in Queens. So we have a burial place in Queens. You can go to Queens to be buried. You can go to London. English guys, they have burial places in London? Of course they do. Wherever you go in the world, they have burial places. So Esau said, what do I need right here for? I'll die and they'll put me anywhere. So you know what he did? He took, like an old movie, he took the money and he ran. That was it. So Esau takes the money, and then Yaakov says to Yosef, the Bekibri Asher Karisi Li, Kanisi Eksiv Kanela Karisi. It says the burial place that Asher Karisi Li. It doesn't say Kanisi, it says Karisi. So, what does Karisi mean? It can mean to dig, and it can also mean a creek, it can mean a pile. For the pile of bucks that I gave Esav, he sold me his burial plot. So what do we see? We see the Midah of Chamdanus. Esav's a coveting man. He loves other people's money. He loved Nimrod's fancy clothes. And he loved money. He was willing to sell his burial spot. There's another Medrash that says, Al tekane b'ish chamas v'al tivcha b'chol d'rachav. Don't be jealous of a man who is a thief, and don't choose all of his ways. Who's a man who's a thief? Major says that's Esav. And they quote a pasuk that he's called an Ish because Esav Isho de'atzayid, and he's called Chamas because may Chamas echir Yaakov. So he's called a man, he's a thieving man. What's a thieving man? A man who wants other people's money. So there's one more Medrash. Vatika Chivka Vizbna Esav, Rivka takes the clothing of Esav, Achamudos. He was Chome then from Nimrod, Vihargan Vinadlan. He killed Nimrod, he kills King Nimrod, and he takes his clothing. So now we have a picture of Esav. What does Esav love? Money. What will he do for money? He'll steal and he'll kill. So while he's not alive today, I can get him a job in the mafia. That's perfect. See, that's the job thing, the resume. I like to steal. I like people's money. I like to steal it. In any event, so, and then Hadu Dixiv, Chamad Rasha Matzeld Ra'im, the Shoresh Tzadikim Yitain. That's the pasuk. That a Rasha is homemade. He desires Matzot to go hunting, to go taking things with bad friends. The Shoresh Tzadikim Yitain. And the root of Tzadikim is to give. So what are Rishayim? Rishayim are chomdim. They like to hang out with their friends and steal. And Tzadikim like to give. Whenever I ask you, you can get some shweki on there. So, Chamad Rasha. That's the Rasha. The Rasha is a chomate. That's what Shlomo HaMelech tells you. That's a pasuk in. Which book does Shlomo HaMelech write? Mishlei, amongst others. So that is the Midah of Rishayim. What's the Midah of Tzadikim? Vishoret Tzadikim Yitain. How does Yaakov start his bracha to, Yitzhak start his bracha to Yaakov? V'yitain lecha Elokim. And God will give you. And what's that? V'y? Yitain v'yachzor v'yitain. Svi Moshe, you did the Sfas Emesis on yitain v'yachzor v'yitain. Lo me'olam hazeh v'lo me'olam haba. You read the Sfas, and any parsha. Any parsha. Guys, you read the Sfas Emesis. Oh, that's really all I want to do every week. I say, why don't I just open up a Sfas Emesis and talk about the Sfas Emesis for 45 minutes. So that's usually what I think to myself. But the answer is, you can get your own. And you can learn it. Pelei Pelei Pelei, what he does with the yitain, v'yachzor v'yitain. What it tells you about being a Jew and climbing to the heavens. For those who want to be here and climb to the heavens. In any event, what is this thing of Yitain V'yachzor? What is a tzaddik? A tzaddik is a Yitain, like God. Yitain, V'yitain, and God will give. He'll give and he'll give again. So the Rambam says, a famous Rambam, let's say you have a choice. You have $100 in your pocket, and you go to the Kotel Maravi, and the good thing about the Kotel Maravi is that you never have to feel that your pockets are full and weighing down your pants. You can always just empty out your pockets and you'll always find people to take your money. I mean, saying, can you do that everywhere? Always find people who will take your money? So, you go to the Kotel and you have nice men who will want to give you the schus of saving you from Gehenna, cancer, death, poverty. How do they do you this favor? By taking tzedakah from you. Tzedakah is good for everything. So they give you some tzedakah, like you have some vitamins. This is good for everything. It improves memory, concentration. It wakes you up. It'll get you a girlfriend. It'll get you a good job. Like this vitamin does everything for you. So you have tzedakah. Tzedakah does everything for you. So you give tzedakah. At the Kotel HaMaariv, you have a $100 bill. Who's on the $100 bill? You know, I told you the story of the Samarav with the 50. It's too good a story. I got to tell it again. So he comes to America and he goes to Ellis Island And he was a very funny man, the Satmar Rebbe. So he goes to Ellis Island, and he wants to become an American citizen, so you have to answer questions. So Baruch Hashem, I didn't. If they would have asked me when I first came to America to answer questions, I would have been stuck. At the time, I was only crying and spitting up. In any event, so he gets to America. So the judge, you know, says to him, "Nu, what's your name?" So he didn't say the Nu. The Nu is my own. So he says, "My name is Yol." He didn't know English. So his gabbai said to him, what do they call you? So he says, "Yoel Teitelbaum." So then he says to him, "Okay, whose picture is on the $50 bill?" So then the gabbai translates for him, and he looks at the judge, and he says to him, "Sorry, I don't look at anything less than a $100 bill." That was it. So the judge bang said, "Joel Teitelbaum, you're my type of guy. Welcome to America." That was the end of the story. So I never look at anything less than 100. Remember that. So who's on the $100 bill? You can use that when they interview you for citizenship. Who is it? Benjamin Franklin. So you take out your Benjamin and you say, "What should I do? Should I give it to one guy? To the blind guy who always sits there? That's the guy right sits right by the entrance? Should I give him the $100 bill? Or should I break the $100 bill and find 100 aniyim and give them a dollar each? What's better? What's the Jewish way? To give one man 100 or break it? What do you say?
Break it.
You men, if you would have lived about 800 years ago in Eretz Israel and Egypt, you could have been the Rambam. Could have been the Rambam. I was once sitting in a library many years ago, and somebody was looking at the books, and he said to me, I spent a lot of time in the library, so people would ask me sometimes where books were. So he said to me, "Excuse me, do you know where the Rambam is?" I said, "Yeah, in Tveria." Now I thought that was hilarious, because the Rambam is buried in Tveria. But I don't think he found that so funny. So you get a Rambam says, "Hakol lefi rova maaseh, hamalot et mishnah pirkei avos." Rabbi Akiva says, "Hamalot lo yisgu lefi shiur godol maaseh, el lefi rov mispar maaseh." It's not how big, but it's how many. Remember this, for those of you who are going to get married and want to avoid divorces, which we all do, so unless you're a divorce lawyer and you love them, but if you're not a divorce lawyer, you try to avoid them. So remember, don't give your wife one big gift and say, "Oh, now I'm Yotze for the next 5 years." Rather, give her a lot of small gifts. Stop. Put that in your little memory bank, and then when you get married, you can say, I give her, come home one day, you know, with a red rose or something small, and you say, "This is from Rav Ehrman." She's like, "What?" So, "Oh, because he said to give you small gifts." That's weird. Anyway, Shamalo Samnam Yusku Vakipo Masi Atol Pamim Rabos. Ubeze Yusaga Kenyan. How do you change character? Everybody here wants to change their character. Change isn't a nice word. People are afraid of change. Everybody here wants to improve their character. Does that sound better? Is that less threatening? I don't want to be threatening. Change is threatening. People don't like that. In general, people don't like me. But to improve character, that's not threatening at all. Everybody wants to improve. Everybody wants to be better. How do you improve your character? The answer is, the same way you improve anything in life. You just do it again, and again, and again. I remember one of the greatest mussars I got when I was a kid was from, there was a white basketball player who used to play, I don't want to say his name, it's Bais Medrash, I prefer not saying names of people, but he used to play for the Indiana Hoosiers. The Indiana Hoosiers are always famous for having good basketball teams. And the coaches who weren't Makbid on Nibble Pet. In any event, at least many years ago. So this guy, he would never leave the gym. He would always take 100 foul shots, and he would never leave the gym unless he sank, I think, 94, 96 out of 100. So I would have tried that myself as a kid, but then I would have had to move into the gym and never leave, because you can't leave until you hit 96 out of 100. So, or I would have cheated. But that was it. He did it again, and again, and again. And then B'Sha'as Maisa, when he actually went to the foul line, he made the foul shot. And then when he tried to make it into the NBA, well, if you're 6'1 and slow, you're not going to make it into the NBA. So he didn't. But what he did do was when he was playing college, he was very, very good. Why was he so good? Because he shot, and he shot again, 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 and he was good. So if you do something enough, you become good at it. If you want to change your character, practice being a good guy. How do you practice being a good guy? Give him a dollar, and 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 little by little it sinks in. You do that really with anything in life. How do you become good at learning Gemara? You learn another page of Gemara, another page of Gemara, another page of Gemara, another page of Gemara. You want a shortcut? There is none. The only way to do it is you do it again, and again, and again, and again. So that's what he says, V'kach yusa kinyan chazak. So therefore, since the purpose of the Torah is not only to provide for the poor, why not? Because if God wants you to provide for the poor, who could do that himself? God himself. He doesn't need your help. So why does he want you to give tzedakah? By golly, for you. For you, the yoni comes to the door, and you're really doing yourself the biggest favor. God doesn't need your money. And frankly, the yoni doesn't need it either. He can also go and get from somebody else. He can get, he goes around the rova, goes to 400 families. He gets an average of $1 from each family. He can go to one guy across the street over there in Manila, one of those people who buys a house and only comes sukkah time. They say if you buy a house over there down outside of the rova, you're only allowed to come 1.5 weeks a year. Otherwise, you're not allowed to come. Because that's the whole thing there. You have a vacation home. Otherwise, it's not a vacation home. I completely made that up. I thought that'd be funny. In any event, he can go to Manila. He knocks on the door. He says, I'm poor. A guy takes out a check, writes a few zeros, writes a one at the beginning, and Shalom Yisrael. God doesn't need your money. He doesn't need your money. You need it. So how do you do it? You give. And you give again. And each time you give, you smile. And you say, have a nice day. And I really hope God should bless you. And when you come in, eat something, drink something, use the, say, Asher Yotzer, whatever you say. And you're nice to him. And you do it again, and again, and again, until it becomes second nature. How did it all start when you guys drove? Remember the first time in driver's ed? You're going and you're holding on tight to the wheel. You're holding on tight to the wheel. Thank you. And you're looking both ways, right? You're very careful, and you know you don't hold on the phone, and this, you think this, right? And then you start driving, and now how do you drive? You're like, look, mom, no hands, right? You see, but the thing, this is their back. You're talking on the telephone with one. You're watching a movie. Now they tell me you can watch movies in your car. So it's not a good development. In any event, my son told me on the way home today from we were going home from school together today, so they put me back in seventh grade. In any event, we were going to school, so he told me that if technology advances the way it is at this rate, in 30 years, everybody's going to have two motorcycles in their pocket. That's what he told them. Things, everything's getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. It is so amazing. In any event, except for Gemaras. Gemaras are getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. I'm scared. They came out Zvachim now. Daf Yomi is learning Zvachim. Like for every four pages, they have like a full-length book. Scary. In any event, so that's our call of fi rova masa. So now I want to learn with you guys. I have a couple minutes. Maimer of the Baal HaTanya. It's coming up. Yutes Kislev is a big Lubavitcher holiday. So then we're not having Yutes Kislev. The Radio Yusuf. I love that. I love that. I personally try to avoid Shiel in the first place, but I'm not living in Russia. In any event, so we have to remind, we have to sing not with Yiddu as Hashem B'Simcha, then we have to sing a nice, a good, nice Chabad, a Chabadnik. The Yichia Denenu will leave for that. The Begeres HaKodesh. This is the Begeres HaKodesh to the Rebbe. It says like this. Bifrat Masit Staka Lo Kulana. Masit Staka, the Rebbe says, is the biggest mitzvah there is today. Hands down. The mitzvah of the day, the mitzvah of the hour, tkufa, is staka. First of all, it saves you from tzaras in this world. Saves you from tzaras. Satan comes up and says, listen, it's either lung cancer or $50. Which one? You pay $50 not to have lung cancer? You pay $50,000 not to have lung cancer. So it's staka. So pay before you get it, guys. Nobody should get it. Before you get it, just keep giving staka. And say, Rabbana Shalom, this is to ward off all illnesses. You know, doctors are looking very hard to find a cure for cancer. In the meantime, they haven't. In the meantime, the cure is to kill good cells and bad cells together and hope you're not killed by the cure. So sometimes they heal, and sometimes, unfortunately, they don't heal. But they still haven't found a way to prevent it in the first place. But we have. If you give tzedakah, then a Kodesh Baruch Hu can do it. Ah, it's good to be Jewish. So it saves you from SARS. It saves that. It saves you from this virus that's going around yeshiva. Like I told the guys before, that somebody once went to a doctor. Went to a Hasidish Rebbe to examine him. He wasn't feeling well. So the doctor examines him, and the Rebbe says, no, doctor, what do I have? So the doctor says, sorry, Rabbi, but you have a virus. So he says, I know I have a virus. I have many, many virus. I'm doing tshuva for my virus. But what am I sick with? So he has a virus. So there's also a virus going around the door, and that's why I have to get rid of all the DVDs. Mikol minei poranius. Mikol minei poranius ha-misrak shos. Ki tosiv v'tztaka tatsil mimavis. Vitztaka tatsil mimavis. He used to be a tztaka collector in Bnei Brak. He used to walk around saying, Tztaka tatsil mimavis. Tztaka saves from death. Ugeshani amus, ze atzil otchem mitztaka. And when I die, it'll save you from tztaka. V'kol shekein nishay mine yisur makal mimavis. Kol shekein shetov lanu gam bo amazil akdima kol ma de'evshir. Shoy adem nidam b'cholam. Every day God judges you. Rabbos, He says, first of all, God shows you every day, keep giving tzedakah. And there's a special positive element, a special ma'ilah in tzedakah when it's done many times. Just keep doing it. But not at once, even if it's going to be the same sum ultimately, but try to give it out to as many people as possible. Like the Rambam says in the Mishnah, kol lefi rov ha-maaseh, the more the better. So first of all, like the Rambam says, it purifies you, it makes you a better person. You kept practicing doing good. And not only that, it says in the Pasuk, pu'ulas tzedakah l'chaim, dahainu, she'pu'ulasa v'skulasa l'hamshich chayim elyonim, mechayei hachayim, ein sof baruchu, le'eretz hachayim. In English, when you give tzedakah, you get God. Somebody wants to be a really ruchni person. You don't have to do a tiny dibur. You don't have to roll around in the snow in the winter. You don't have to, you know, learn Kabbalah. You don't have to sleep on the floor and put a rack under your head and say tikkun chatzos. You want to be really spiritual? Give a lot of tzedakah. And then if you give tzedakah, you bring godliness on yourself. He shchinas uzeinu shalem emar ve'ata mechayes kulan. You give life to everything. And it says, Pulas Staka L'chaim. And it says that Staka gives you life. What life? The life of God. If somebody wants God, they give Staka. All of this, you know, being up in the air and I'm so holy. For us in Judaism, what does it mean to be holy? It means to put your hand in your pocket and give Staka. That's to be holy. If you understand Kabbalah, you understand this. This brings you to the land of life. Otherwise, we're lost. So now you understand what the rabbis mean when they say tzedakah done many times, rova masa many times. Because each time you give tzedakah, you're causing the most amazing things to happen in Shemayim. In the upper worlds, we don't even know what that means. But we know that in worlds that we can't see, that exist, that are more real than this world, that are eternal, we're causing amazing things every time you give tzedakah. It says in Halacha, it says, V'ani b'tzedek echazeh panecha, it says in the Gemara, that one of the rabbis, every time he davened, he gives tzedakah. Ani b'tzedek, I see your face with tzedek, with tzedakah. Before davening, that's why you'll notice in shul sometimes, people put money in the pushka before they daven, because that is what you're supposed to do before you daven. So that's a good custom, that every day, you have three half shekel coins in your pocket. Every day you can give the machzis a shekel, right? In the morning you give a half, in the afternoon you give another half, and at night you give another half. So even though you only ended up giving 60 cents to tzedakah or whatever, but at the end of the day, you made tremendous yichudim elyonim, which means that in the up in the heavenly spheres, you brought the spheres together, you brought great things down to earth. So it purifies your soul, it purifies the shechina, which is also called the nefesh. And therefore, what brings the geula? Gedola tztaka shemekarevis is ha-geula. Tztaka brings the geula. As it says, ki krova yeshua si lavo v'tzidkasi lehigalos. Tztaka, the geula will come, and then that is ultimately what's going to bring the geula. So, that's the mile of tztaka. And we all know the story of the rabbi who once gave somebody tztaka, and then he gave him a few minutes later, he went back and he gave him another time. Somebody said, why are you giving him twice? He said, the first time I gave him because I felt badly for myself. And the second time I gave him because it's the right thing to do to give tzedakah. And that really should be our kavana. Not to make ourselves feel better. Oh, I gave him, he'll be okay now. I gave him some of my money. To give because that's what God wants you to do, because that's what this person needs. So now let's get back to Esav. Esav was a man who loved money. And Yaakov understood from Esav, what's the midah of giving on the, what's the good side of giving, we said. Giving. Stopping, giving again, stopping, giving again, stopping. So we know there's a war between Esav and Yaakov. Chazal say, Esav is up, Yaakov is down. Esav is down, Yaakov is up. Yaakov is like this to good, what Esav is to bad. Esav is to bad, what Yaakov is to good. So if the definition of good, if the definition of the ideal is to give, and then to give again, and then to give again, and not to give in one shot, so then what's the definition of bad? To take, and then to take again. And then to take again. Not all to take in one shot. That's the Rav Esav. That's what Yaakov was fighting against. Yaakov was giving him because he knew Yaakov was the giver. So he knew to give and then to give again because that's the meat of tzaddikim. And he knew that the other side, since that's good, so the Maharal says, Yediyas hafachim achasi, that when you know one thing, you know it's opposite also. It's logic, right? you know A and B is the opposite of A, then you also know B. By knowing A, you know B. Because if you know A, you know that B is the opposite of A, then just by knowing A, you also know B. So if you know A, if you know Yaakov, if you know Tzedakah, you know that good is giving and giving again and giving again, you know what the Rasha likes. The Rasha likes to take, then it likes to take again, and then it likes to take again. So now we understand, says the Rebbe Shlita, that why Yaakov gave Esav, and then he gave him again, because that's the Midah of Ra. The Midah is not to take it all at once. They like to take, have a break, absorb what they did, because every time you take, it's Ra. Right? We're not in this world to take, we're in this world to give. So every time you become, the more of a taker you are, the worse it is for your soul, the more corrupt you become. And that's what Rishon do to themselves. They want to become more and more and more corrupt because they're takers. So he takes, and then he absorbs that, he likes it, he has the good feeling, oh, I got it! I got it from that person! And then he finds somebody else to take from. And then he got it! And then he takes again. And then he takes again. That's the Midah of Rishon. They love to take, they love to hurt, they love to destroy. So, that's Yaakov and that's Esav. So, the Chazal say that the schus of Yaakov, remember we said the tzaras, in the schus of Yaakov sending, and then having a break, a space, and then sending another gift, and then another space, and then another gift, in that merit, when the Jews suffer, they're going to have a break, and they're going to suffer again, but they're going to have a break in between. We said, what's the great merit? The great merit is the merit of our giving. If you know how to give, and that's the correct way to give, that you give, and then you take a break, you stop, and then you give again. V'yitain, you give, and V'yachzor V'yitain, and then you give another one. Not all at once. So in that merit, when we have troubles, the troubles aren't going to come all at once. When they come all at once, it's too much to handle. So therefore, God's going to give us a break. It's only going to be little by little. Right? It's always like that with people. And when people suffer, it's always much easier if it's only a little bit today and a little bit tomorrow. When it's all at once, it's very often too much to bear. So that is that. Now, when we asked about Esav, when he gave him the Haliteni Namin Adom Adom Azeh, so why did he want it all at once? So the pasuk says, Haliteni Namin Adom Adom Azeh Ki Ayefanoch. I'm too tired. What does it mean I'm too tired? That really the ideal is I'd like it a little bit, and then I'd like a little bit more, and then I'd like a little bit more. But the truth is I'm so tired, I don't even have the patience for that. Just shove it all down my throat. But really, that's not the Esav. The real Esav, when he's not too tired, he wants it a little bit, and then a little bit more, and then a little bit more. But that day, what can he do? He was too tired. So he just said, just shove it all down my throat. But that's the Midah Ra of Esav. And from the Ra, we learn Tov. So this is interesting. In Kabbalah, it says that Rabbi Akiva was on the heel of Esav. And then, this is what the Arizal says. And then Yaakov grabbed it. Yaakov grabbed Rabbi Akiva. And from that, grabbing Rabbi Akiva from the heel of Esav, Yisachar was born, who was Torah. And then eventually, Rabbi Akiva was born. Because Yisachar and Rabbi Akiva have the same neshama. So what's that about? The Rebbe says that originally, Rabbi Akiva was a rotten dude. Had Rabbi Akiva was a rotten dude. Because he says that, give me a Talmud Chacham, and I'll bite him up like a donkey. I'll rip him into pieces. That's Rabbi Akiva. The great Rabbi Akiva hated Talmud Chacham. And in the end, what did Rabbi Akiva become? What does the pasuk say in Mishlei? Shoresh Tzadikim Yitain. I wouldn't test you on Pesuk of Mishlei. I just happened to have quoted about 15 minutes ago. Shoresh Tzadikim Yitain. That Rabbi Akiva was a giver. Rabbi Akiva was Mechadesh. Who said I call a fear of a master? Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that you have to give, and you have to give again, and you have to give again, and you have to give again. And that, the Arizal says, is what Esav, when Yaakov grabbed Esav's heel, he was really grabbing Rabbi Akiva. Because originally he was on Esav's heel, which is the bad midah of being a taker, and taking again, and taking again, and taking again. And what? Yeah. Because originally he hated, right. Originally, because he was Yisachar on the bad side. And then he becomes Yisachar on the good side. Beautiful. So, originally he had the bad side of Esav, of being a taker, and then a taker again, a taker again, a taker again. And then he said in Pirkei Avos, I call it Pirkei Avos, that you have to give, and you have to give again, and you have to give again, and you have to give again. And that's why Rabbi Akiva had how many Talmidim? 24,000. So we have a lot of Talmidim like that. You have to give each Talmid what that Talmid needs. So Rabbi Akiva was a giver, and then a giver again, and a giver again. And that's what Chazal say, Tolas Chesed HaLashona. What is Torah's Chesed HaLashona? Is there a Torah of Chesed and a Torah not of Chesed? So the Gemara says, if you teach Torah, then it's a Torah of Chesed. And if not, then it's not a Torah of Chesed. So really there's Chesed and Gashmias, whereas you give and you give and you give money. And then there's also in Ruchnias that you give and you give in Ruchnias. And that's also what it says in Lamed Gimel, Yud Aleph. He says, take the bracha,
כך נחס ברכסי אשר הוא בייסלח, כי חנני אלוקים וכי יש לי קול, וייבצר בו וייקח. Well, I take the bracha that was brought to you, because God has given me, and I have everything I need, and he begged him and he took it. So why did he say that was brought to you? Uveislach. Why do you have to stress that was brought? Of course, the gift that was brought to you. Just say, take the gift. And the answer was, it was brought to you. Meaning in an Esav way. What's the Esav way? Take a little, and take a little more, and take a little more. That's the Esav way. So what's the lesson? The lesson is that it says in Chazal about Avram Avinu. It says, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Elokei Avram is the Mid of Chesed. And then Yitzchak is Din. And then Yaakov is Tiferes, is Emes. But then we end off Baruch Atah Hashem again, Avram. Where did Avram and where did Yitzchak and Yaakov go? So the Gemara says, no, we only end off with you. Only end off with Avram and not Yitzchak and Yaakov. So Chedush Arim says, famous in Hasidus, he says, B'chachosna. With you we end off, meaning the geula is going to be because of you, because of your midah. What was Avraham Avinu's midah? Chesed. But that's when why the geula is going to come. So that's what we have to work on now. It's the end of, we're just at the end. We're at the end now. We're going little by little. The world's self-destructing. We're at the end. That's what we have to do now. After Chaperon, just do as much chesed as possible. It's chesed in Gashmias when you leave yeshiva, and chesed in Ruchnias when you're in yeshiva. And that's also what we do on Chanukah. We're coming up to Chanukah. What's Chanukah? The first night, one candle. The second night, two candles. The third night, and you add, and each night you add, and you're going more and more and more. Hakolafi roba masa. And the second night, you don't just light, put it in the seventh slot, the seventh night, you don't put a candle. No, you did one, and the next you built on that, and now you do one and two. And then lafi roba masa, and then each night you're building on the previous night. So that's the avodah. So as long as you're in yeshiva, really your primary avodah is to do chesed and ruchnias. And chesed and ruchnias means, first of all, do a chesed for your neshama, by learning. And second of all, it means do a chesed for your parents. Because they raised you, and they also need your merits. And then if you look around yeshiva and you see somebody else who needs help, then you can also do a chesed for him. And every day, you don't have to go on a big chesed project. You don't have to save the world. Nobody here is going to save the world. You can go on small chesed projects. It starts in the morning, when you pleasantly wake up your roommate, and when you act in the way you're supposed to act, and people see you as an example. And then at the meal table, and you act like a mensch, and somebody, you know, you're getting up to get food, so you offer to get for somebody else. And you can do a lot of little chesed every day in yeshiva. People I used to have a Rosh Yeshiva used to say, people look for chesed, go to Har Nof for chesed, they go to all these far-falling places. He says, where's the biggest chesed that you can do? He says, the boy sitting right next to you in the Beis Medrash. You don't have to go, somebody doesn't have to be a gifted child, a special child in order to get chesed. It's also good to do chesed with them, obviously. We're not minimizing that, but just the guy next to you in the Beis Medrash. Everybody in this room can find somebody who knows how to learn out as well as them. Right? And if you can't, if you say to me, no, there's not one guy in this yeshiva who learns who I learn better than, everyone else learns better than I do. So once you get the Gemara, then you know officially how to learn better than a lot of the other guys who don't yet know the Gemara. So once you know the Gemara morning Seder, so you go around and you sit with other people who don't yet know the Gemara and you help them along. So that's really our avodah in the yeshiva. And the more you do that, the more you accustom yourself. I'm a man who helps. And when somebody comes and asks you for a favor, what do you usually think? Do I want to do the favor? Don't I want to do the favor? Will it inconvenience me? Won't it inconvenience me? What do I owe this person? What does this person owe me? All I get out of it, what won't I get out of it? All the cheshbonos we have when we're asked to do chesed. It's better not to have cheshbonos. It's better than when somebody asks you to do a favor, you say, great. That's it. And you just accustom yourself. When somebody asks you, you say, great. And when you have a car, you guys have cars talking about driving, now driving comes naturally. So every time you're in a religious neighborhood, you're in a Jewish neighborhood, you see, I'm not saying you should stop in the middle of Spanish Harlem and say, Jose, would you like to come in? Can I give you a ride somewhere? You know, you need to do any drug deals, go to any pubs, I'd like to take you wherever you need to go. But if you're going, you're driving down, you stop your car, you see somebody's waiting at a bus stop, and you offer them a ride. There's so many, there's thousands, there's tens of thousands of chesed. Wherever you go, there's chesed. Wherever you go, somebody goes back to get a sitter, so you can also get three sitters. You can also get for someone else. You're the shir, you people are bringing in chairs, you can also bring in two chairs, some for you and for your friend also. You can bring in two for your friend and find one for yourself. So the world is filled with chesed. So the yisod is, sweet as friends, that we should have to be like Rabbi Akiva. Kol fi rov amaseh, more and more and more. And then in that schus we'll have the kinyan of this midah tova and bring the geula. So I said before that we're going to sing something in honor of the Lubavitcher Rebbe because he taught us the importance of l'chol afi rov amaseh. And in that schus we will say, ay na 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 ya, ay 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 na 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 ya. Ay 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 ay
אני רואה שהחבר'ה קצת מתנמנמנים, אז אני לא אומר להם דרושה על 127. קצת ליצן הסקדושה.